Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time, and His mercy endures forever. You know, the storms come. You know, it's like, you know, where Jesus talked about the building your house, the one that built his house on the rock and the one that built his house in the sand. You know what happened when the storm came, of course. The one built in the sand had trouble, right? You ever when you're a kid, go to the beach or go to the ocean and make those sand castles and work on them all day and how fun it was? Well, what happened when the tide came back in? It would wash away all your work. It was like it never existed. See, on a good day or in the good weather, it doesn't matter how you're living. It looks good for everybody. You know, that house built on the sand looks just as strong and beautiful and inviting as the one built in the rock. But when the storm came, and it was the same storm, by the way, when that storm hit, the house that had been wisely built on the solid foundation, it withstood. Whereas a house built in the sand, just like that sand castle you'd make, it washed away. So when everything looked good, and boy, we've all had friends like that. When life's good with you, you have all kinds of friends. They say right? They say, hey, I'm your friend. I'm with you forever, as long as you're having parties. But then when something goes wrong, where do those friends go? They leave, don't they? Because they were just there for the good time. They weren't there to be real friends. They were there to enjoy what you'd give them. Well, this is the same thing. When the storm hit and the house that was built in the solid foundation, that's the one you went to in the storm. That house is still standing. I'm going there because I'll be safe. You weren't going to the other one that was crumbling and going in the ocean. So you see, God gave us that example because of His Word. If we stand on the Word of God, then His Word never changes. He says, I'm not a man that I should lie. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll never leave you or forsake you. It just goes on and on. If we build our foundation on the Word of God, He'll never, ever let us down. Now, we can make mistakes. But the beauty of when we make mistakes is all we have to do is turn around and say, I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry, Daddy. I messed up. Forgive me. And then what? As far as the east is from the west, He remembers it no more. And we're back in His favor. We're back in His grace. And that's the wonderful thing about God. Now, in Jeremiah 29:2, it talks about, God says, the Bible says, it's actually God speaking, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, the reason it's said that way, I've shared that before. Sometimes you'll hear people say a hope and a future, but God stopped me on that one day. He said, no, it's not a hope and a future, because if you read it as a hope and a future, when that storm comes, when your car gets run into, when you have to buy another car or whatever it might be, you might start saying, I hope I have a future, Lord. But that's not what it says. It says that you have a future and a hope. And God stopped me on that. He said, you know why it's a future and a hope? I said, no, but you're going to tell me. He said, it's a future and a hope because you have a future and your hope is in Jesus. See, as long as our hope is pinned on Jesus, I don't care what comes at you, you're going to be standing at the end of the day. Amen. Because victory is found through Him. His redeeming blood, His cleansing blood, His purifying blood, His provisional blood, it's all there. Whatever we need took place on that cross. And then when He, you know, went down to hell for 3 days and then rose from the dead and went up on the right hand of the Father, where I know I've shared this before because it's really exciting to know this. Jesus is now sitting on the right hand of the Father praying for us all. He's praying for you right now. You know, He's praying for you right now. So even when we get busy with life and we feel like we can't pray anymore, Jesus is praying for us. Isn't that exciting? But anyways, He's up there with victory. He's already won our battles. We just have to be able to receive them. You know, it's like the food in the refrigerator is already there, but you have to open the door and go and get it. So we have to do something. We have to take action because God isn't going to cram anything down our throat. We have to say, yes, I know, I can see the point. I need you, Lord. I need your son, Jesus. And we take a step towards Him. And when we take that step, that's given Him permission to come and flood our life with His love, to come fill us with that light, the light that pierces into the darkest hour, that light that will heal us, that light that will redeem us, that light that will give His beloved sleep. That's all available through God our Father, through His Son Jesus. So He says, I'll give you a future and a hope. And then, because we now have that future and hope in Jesus, He says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now, why is He listening now? Because Jesus has now paid that price. That covenant has now been, when Jesus was offered up as a perfect lamb that was slain, unspoiled, never had sin, God said, that will work. That will pay the debt. And He stamped paid in full for every one of us, but we have to accept that gift freely given by God. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. Now, we can and we should do works for God, but it's not to get saved. It's not to get anything from God. No, it's out of love and appreciation for what God has already done for us that we do this. And so, anyways, praise God. That is why it says now that he listens to us. And you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart. So that's the other key. What do you really want? You see, people will always do what they want to do. They'll find a way to do it. You know, it's like if you really love fishing, maybe when you're a kid you love fishing. So one way or another, you'd get to the creek every day, whenever you could, right? If maybe your mama wants you to hang up clothes or something, but she's not looking, so you grab your pole and you run to the creek. Why? Because you love fishing. You make it happen. And so in the same way, if we love the things of God, we'll make that happen. We'll take that time, and it doesn't take all day. It just takes a moment to say, Father, I love you, and I thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. I know that in you I live and move and have my being. I know it's because of you that I have life, and I have it more abundantly. See, you just acknowledge him. It's about a personal relationship with God. That's what it's all about. It's not about religion. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about walking and talking with him and knowing that he loves you. And if we'll just be still for a moment, he'll talk to us with that still, small voice. He'll let us know that he loves us. He'll give us wisdom. I know. He even cares about lost keys. I've lost my keys before. You know, you get frantic. Where are they? Where are they? You run around the house. And then finally I'd stop and say, well, no, I'm going to pray about this. Father, I know you know where these keys are. You tell me where they are, and I'll just be quiet a few minutes. And you know what? He'll say, go look in that drawer. And I'll open the drawer, and there they are. He wants to help us, even in the smallest things, because he cares that much. He loves us. But we have to learn that we should pray first and ask questions later. The first thing we should do is pray. Pray to God our Father, because he has the answers. It talks about praying out the mysteries. See, it's not a mystery to God. He knows everything. He's the beginning, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's a mystery to us. And if we would ask him, he would tell us. You know? How many times have we had it in our life where, because I would say to you, you know, Larry says you're no good. He doesn't like you at all. See, now if you believe me, Larry didn't do anything. Larry is fine. But see, we need to go to God. He's the one that he's the creator. He knows the truth. I lied to you. But if you go to God, say, did Larry say that about me? And God say, no, Larry didn't say that about you. You see, God wants us to know the truth. But if we believe a lie, and the devil will tell you a lie all the time, he'll tell you you're no good. He'll tell you you're going to fail. You're sick and you're going to die. But what does God's word say? God's word says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. God's word says that I'll never leave you or forsake you. God's word said that the peace that passes all understanding is available to you. So you see, who are you going to hear? Who are you going to listen to? And we need to listen to the word of God and realize how important it is in our life. And I know, by the way, Larry really does like you. He says you're a good guy. Amen. So anyway, thank you, Lord. But see, we have to know what we're hearing. Religion will lie to you every time. If it's not based on the word of God, it's not going to be right. It's got to be what Jesus talked about. And actually, anything that does not put the emphasis on Jesus, she's got her phone ringing. If the emphasis isn't on Jesus, then it's wrong. Because Jesus is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So if all the emphasis is on somebody else or on a ministry or on anything other than Jesus, you know, if that's all you ever hear and it's not pointing at Jesus, it's wrong. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute, I got to ask you about this, Father, because this isn't talking about Jesus. This is talking about them and how good they are. See, and it's easy to get off because when God uses you and things start happening, you can begin to think, boy, look at me. Isn't that awesome? Look what God's doing through me. But that's where you lose it, because what did God say? He said he would never share his glory with anyone. So we always have to acknowledge, no, we could be great because greater is he within us and he that's in the world, not because of me, because of him within me. And we acknowledge that, and then he could use us. God uses the humble. He loved King David. Why? Because of his heart. His heart was right towards God. Did King David make mistakes? Yes, and he paid for them. You know, he lost his son because of a mistake he made. But God still loved him. So we have to know that God loves us, and that first and foremost, He wants to spend time with you. He wants to, you to talk with Him. He wants you to listen for Him to talk back. And if we do that, He will never leave us or forsake us. And in the New Testament, I'll bring it over there, again, He's telling us He wants us to know. If we look at Matthew 7, you've probably all heard this before. Matthew 7, starting in verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now, that doesn't sound like God wants to keep you in the dark, does it? It doesn't sound like He wants you to say, "Well, you never know what the man upstairs is going to do." Yes, you do. He just wants you. But you've got to take time to ask Him. You know, you've got to go and say, "God, what would you have me do today? I love you. I want to be used by you. You know, I want to be that vessel you can pour through me." Because what's He say? You have a river of life flowing through you. And if it's flowing through you, that means that it's more than you need. It's going out to others. It's flowing and it's filling this room and it's touching people, not because of me, but because of Him within me, that His word can minister to you and give you peace, give you joy, give you healing. But see, it's that inner river flowing out of me. It's not me. And see, he wants us to know the truth. He says, "Know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It also says what? In Hosea, "My people perish for lack of wisdom." You know, it's like if you don't know that the stove is hot when you're a kid, you'll go touch that thing and go, you get burned. Hopefully you learned after only doing it once. But see, you didn't know it was hot. So when we get knowledge, we get wisdom. When we get wisdom, we get smarter. And as we get smarter, we realize that just like you had to go through school, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, so it is with God. You start out with baby steps. It talks about where you're drinking the milk. But then you're supposed to grow up. And you're supposed to reach the point where you're eating meat. We're having those, enjoying those cheeseburgers in the Lord, you know. We're getting the good stuff because we're getting more mature. But you know, the more you know, the more is required of you. You can no longer get away with, "I didn't know that." You know, like, let's say reached in your mother's purse and took out some money and went and met the ice cream truck or something. Now, the first time, you may not have known it was wrong, but after she told you, and probably gave you a spanking and said, "You don't get in that. That's mine. And if you wanted ice cream, just ask. I would have given it to you." Okay, the first time was one thing. But the next time he does it, now he's in real trouble. Why? He knew about it. He now had that knowledge. He had that wisdom that it was wrong to get in that purse. It was wrong to help himself. And so in the same way, as we learn more things in God, we're expected to understand that and not to keep going there anymore, because now we have greater revelation. And see, and again, if we see it as the owner's manual, we will realize that it's for our good, that God knows what it takes. You know, like our car we just got takes gasoline, and I already know this. If I pour water in the gas tank, I'm not going anywhere. It's going to whoop, that's it. And costs a lot of money. Have that all pumped out, cleaned out. Why? Because it doesn't run on water. And so the same way, God's word is meant to help us, to fine-tune us, to get us tuned up into the things of God so that we can move with Him. And getting back to the knocking and seeking, it says, if a son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? And it says, if we being evil or natural, in other words, doing it in our own abilities, if we know how to give good to our children, it says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So you see, God knows our needs, and He wants to meet our needs, and He's here to help us. But He also knows that we can't do it on our own. We need a shepherd, or we need a pastor. And we have a pastor, or pastors, the Rogans, a husband and a wife, and we thank God for them because we have grown so much through them. Not because, again, that they're all that in a bag of chips, but because they're open to God. They let that Spirit of God flow through them, and they seek God and say, "God, show us so we can show them." And they teach us so we can grow. And the more we grow, the more we can teach others. And so that's why in Jeremiah 3, he talks about, in 3:15, it says, "And I will give to you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." So you see, he's saying he wants the shepherds, he wants the ministers, he wants the pastors to have his heart. Well, what's the new commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. And then what's the second one? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So I can say, well, Larry, I love you, and the Lord loves you too. And he, by the way, he told me he likes you too. All is good. All is good between you two. So praise God. But God is good. But he wants us to have shepherds or teachers that can teach us the things of God. You know, if it's something that I think is a good idea, it's not going to be near as beneficial to you as the Word of God will. Because the Word of God is proven. It's been proven for over 2,000 years that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's been proven for over 2,000 years that in him is our healing, in him is our provision, in him is our joy, in him is our strength. And you know, well, my wife was talking about with the car accident and how God protected us. I know the angels were involved in that, just the way it happened. And now God has replaced the vehicle. Like you heard her say, I went and got another one. But what we say determines our next step in life. You see, God protected my mom and my wife, and they're both fine, see them. But the car got totaled out, as you said. So if I had just, you know, let the devil entertain that thought, because the only way the devil can talk to us is in our thoughts. He'll bring a thought to you. And just because you have a thought does not make you a bad person. It's what you do with that thought. So anyways, he gave me the thought, well, if God really loved you, then why do you have to buy another car? Well, because the answer that God gave me to that was, what's to say about the devil? He's like a lion looking for whom he may devour. He's out to get us. He doesn't want, you know, he doesn't want to just scratch the paint. He wants to, if we're serving God, in his mind, we're his enemy, and he wants to take us out. It's a war. But greater is he within us than he is in the world. But anyways, he did not win. You know, he lost that battle. My wife and my mom are fine. Now, yes, we had to get another car. But this is what God showed me. If I had decided to take the position of, well, God let my car get destroyed. God's supposed to love me. He's supposed to care for me. Why did he do that? See, if you start thinking that way, you're opening the door for the enemy to come in and do more to you. But what you have to say is, no, that's a lie. God provided for me, and he said he'd never leave me or forsake me. And I'm calling this thing taken care of, that, you know, that he's prepared a year for me. You know, he's looking over my year from the beginning to the end. I have angelic help. You know, there's marvels happening in my life. And that God is good, he loves me, and that we're coming through this. We win. You're a liar, Satan. We win. You see, by doing that, we stay in victory. And that's why we have the other car now. God showed us favor. We got a good deal on it. And everything's going to come through, and we're going to have this new vehicle. But if I had decided to say, well, no. God, why'd you do that to me? See, I'm in trouble now because I'm not thinking whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is worthy of praise. I'm now entering into the world of doubt. You see, the kingdom of God operates by faith, right? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God, so you're all getting faith right now. But it also says that it's impossible to please God without faith. So you say, well, I can't please God. Well, no, good news. It says that every one of us have been given the measure of faith. So we all have the ability to please God. Isn't that exciting? We can grow closer and closer. It's like climbing stairs. We should be going higher with God all the time. Or even a relationship, like our marriage. If we stop growing together and going higher, then we've gotten stagnant. And if we're not careful, it could actually go backwards. And that's what happens to marriages. Or anything, any relationship, if you don't put enough time and effort in it, it will suffer. You know? And I've heard it said about that. If you compared we've all been there before in our life, but the way we treated God, let's say we gave him an hour on Sunday. You know, once every Sunday we go to church. I got to go to church. And that was all we do for God. And then maybe even then, we're looking at our watch because it's been an hour and 5 minutes and he's still talking. Well, how would that work in your marriage? If you keep looking at your watch when you're talking to your wife, and it's been 45 minutes. Come on, girl. You know, there's going to be a problem, isn't there? There's going to be friction in that home. The relationship is going to suffer. It's the same thing with God. We shouldn't expect to do it in an hour every week. He loves us. He created us. He formed us. He knows our beginning from the end. And he is our answer. If we will look to him, he's what? The author and finisher of our faith. And we have to start it, but he will finish it. And so it's important that we take time with God every day, not just on Sunday, or not just when we come here, but start your day with God. Say, thank you, Father, for waking me up to new day. Thank you that I have shelter, I have clothing. Thank you I'm going to go have food. Thank you we have each other. You know, we can help each other. We can encourage each other. I could share my cookie with her because I like her, because God said, you know, that we should love each other. You see, that's how we need to approach life, is knowing that we have a supply. You know, whenever we get stingy with something, why do we get stingy with something or get fearful? because we think we're going to run out, right? But God didn't say we're going to run out. He said we would have living waters flowing through us, reaching out to others. So if we realize that it's more blessed to be, you know, to give than to receive, or blessed to be a blessing. See, God, if God knows that we're out to be used by Him, if God knows that we're out to encourage, to strengthen, to share with others, then He will give us more because He knows that we will use it for the purpose He has. We'll use it to spread His joy, to spread His love, and to show others that He cares. And so, yes, He's given us shepherds, He's given us teachers to help us to grow in the things of God. And we're so thankful for our pastors, and we thank God for them every day. And and we know that we're making a difference here, not because of who we are, but because we're bringing the Word of God to you, because we're speaking life to you that is found only through Jesus. You know, He said that that anyone that comes in other than through Jesus is a thief and a liar. You know, but that's in John. But that, again, He has come, what? That we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I like that. I want to have abundant life. Let's just say in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knows our wants. He knows our needs. And it's not so we can get filthy rich and just go sit in a corner somewhere. No, it's so we can share. Because that's what happened with the farmer that had all the grain. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I got this great harvest. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to fill those barns up. And I'm going to just sit down in my rocking chair and live it up. And what God say? You fool, today I require your life, because he did it wrong. He thought he could just hoard it all and keep it to himself, but it's not meant for hoarding. It's meant for sharing, because that's what the kingdom of God is like. He says that he prepare a banquet for us in the presence of our enemies. Are there any enemies in heaven? No. That's right. That means that banquet is for here and now on this earth. He wants others to see how God blesses us, how he takes care of us, and just what they talked about with Israel all the time. They were afraid because they saw how God defended them, how God blessed them, and so they respected Israel. They said, their God is really something else. Well, he's our God, and he loves us the same way. So I just want to encourage you that God loves you, that we love you, and that we're here for each other. And when we do later on come around to talk with you and pray with you, you know, we agree by faith in anything you want to pray for. If you can believe it, you can receive it. You know, and that doesn't mean instantly. It takes time sometimes. But if you get healed, you get healed. Or if your bills get paid off, they're paid off. It doesn't matter if it took 2 days or 2 years. If God sets you free, you're free indeed. And so we just trust God and know that he loves us and he cares for us. And that, again, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. It says here, at the end of Galatians, it says, be generous and do good. It says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So in other words, if somebody blesses us, we should, you know, bless them back. Say, oh, thank you for helping me. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And this is a good reminder for all of us sometimes. Now let us not grow weary in well-doing, because it says if we do not lose heart, that we will in due season, we will reap a harvest. It's like, you know, they talked about planting a crop. Like, let's say you plant corn. If you keep going out and digging up the seed to see what's happening, it's not going to come up. You keep destroying the roots. But as sure as could be, you know, if the moisture is right, if the sun is right, and the warmth is right, it's going to pop up out of the ground. And once those roots have taken root, and that's what God's Word does, it takes root inside of us. Once it takes root, it will grow and it will be strong. Again, it's about the foundation. Now, you don't plant, corn in the foundation because it can't grow in cement. But we do plant ourselves in the Word of God if we want to be strong, if we want to be able to withstand that storm that comes. Storms of life come for all of us. But we have the answer. And we have the ability through Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit once we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it says that he will teach us. He will teach us all truth. He will never leave us. And, so at moments in life, we've been there before, we feel like we're all alone. Nobody cares anymore. Guess what? God does. And he's there. And he'll even send people to come. Because God usually uses people. That's just the way he operates. He could do it. He could reach out on his own. But normally he does it through a person. And he'll lay it on a person's heart and say, well, Go see that person. Go talk with that person. Tell that person I love him, because he's letting us be that the conduit or the pipe that the water goes through. You see, God will flow through us and get it to other people if we'll let him, but it's him flowing through us. Again, it's not me, it's him. And to him be the glory and honor. So anyhow, I just thank God for what he's done. You know, he preserved my mom, he preserved my wife. We now have another vehicle, and we're going forward in victory. But he's not a respecter of persons. He cares for every one of us. He knows all of our needs before we ask. And when the storm comes, if we call upon him, it says, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And that's what she did when the accident happened. She said, Jesus. And that's all it took.
That's right.
He took over and protected them. And it's just so wonderful to have a God that cares for us, a God that is there for us in the beginning, from the beginning to the end, and a God that he says that his plans are more wonderful than we can even imagine. You know, he has it all planned out for us. Now, we can go do our own thing and think we're doing the best, but it won't be, because only God knows what's best for us. And if we're doing that, we'll be truly be happy, we'll truly be blessed. And so I just want to encourage you. I'll remind you something too. Jesus said, first and foremost, that we should be called the house of prayer. And every one of you are in a position to do the greatest job in the kingdom of heaven. Pray. Pray for each other. Pray for us. Pray for others. Pray for the staff. Pray for the other residents. You hear a siren in the distance. Pray for that situation. Your prayer changes everything. Prayer is powerful. And it's by the prayers that are prayed that things happen. And prayers don't have an expiration date either. There are people that have already gone on to glory whose prayers haven't been answered yet, but they're still out there, and God is still working. See, God works with people again, and so a lot of times what seemed to hold up a prayer is because he may still be dealing with you, saying, you go see Larry, and you haven't done it yet, so it's taking a little longer. But he's patient. He says, no, you go see Larry, and then you finally go see Larry, and then that prayer gets answered. You see, God uses us to help each other. So I'm going to turn it back over to my wonderful wife, but we love coming to see you. And the answer is found in God. And we encourage you to continue to press into God and to know that he loves you and he has a plan for you, and that you don't need to fear the Lord. You need to respect and honor him, but don't fear him, because he loves you. Amen.